Well, good morning, everybody. I'm glad you could join us as we gather on this Labor Day weekend to partake of the virtual communion table together. Even though we are in a lot of different physical spaces at this moment, our connection as a church family continues to be strong, and I'm just so grateful that we've had a chance to connect with each other throughout this pandemic as we watched the Sunday school video. I was kind of reminded of the course of events of this year and how the church has adapted. And I'm just really grateful for this congregation for being so flexible and for being so creative and finding ways to connect with each other to keep our relationships pretty strong. I'm thankful that we can still participate in this sacred space on this first Sunday of the month while keeping all of us safe. This week, we will hit the 6-month mark of life in quarantine. Now, I know the Safer at Home order went into effect on March 19th, so we're maybe a few weeks away from the actual order itself, but our last in-person church service was actually on March 8th. So we're just a couple days, 2 days shy of the anniversary of that last in-person church service. 6 months is a long time. It's a half a year. And life has sure changed in this half year, as we saw from the Sunday school video. For one thing, we've become a mask culture. And I know a lot of people were kind of hesitant and unsure if we would ever fully adopt that culture. I guess in some parts of the country, they still haven't adopted it. But I say, as I drive around, we are slowly transitioning to becoming a mask culture. Other things that have happened this year, a lot of us have taken up gardening and baking sourdough bread during this time of quarantine as we're stuck at home. Many of us learn how to to get most of our stuff and shop online. Sanitizer became more valuable than gold in this country. And every one of us, within a few months, became experts on Zoom and also learned to hate Zoom all at once. I know that for a lot of us, this is our 15th, 16th, maybe even 20th Zoom call of the week, especially for the students and teachers out there. I know that you guys have been on this video conferencing platform far too much in 1 week. But a lot has gone on. And while as a church, we've taken a good portion of our summer, really for our church programming, to focus on our LGBTQ journey, you know, we've only touched on some of the other huge events that we've been seeing across the country. And one of those things is the racial climate in America. Now, racial inequality has been an unfortunate part of our nation's history. And it seems like the pandemic and the current political atmosphere has only made things a little bit worse. And if you turn on your TV, you can see how much of the coverage focuses on this. You know, in March, after the president called the coronavirus the China virus, there were a reported 650 incidents of Asian American discrimination in just 1 week. And throughout the spring and summer, we've seen on our screens, on our phones, these things are filled with recordings of protests, of coverage of police brutality, and statistics of how this virus is affecting people of color far more than others. And because the incidents of Black killings in our nation have continued to be common throughout the past 6 months, or at least have been reported on in such a prolific way, I thought it'd be important to think about racism and the Christ that we worship and how those two connect this morning. Now, in the book of Hebrews, if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, the writer talks about Jesus in this way, and we have a slide for you if you don't have your Bibles in front of you. In chapter 11 of Hebrews chapter 2, it says this, it says, "Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family." So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. Now, what the writer of Hebrews is saying is that Jesus is the same as us. Jesus and his people are of the same family. We're related, we're connected, we're committed to each other, just like a family. Now, as we look on in chapter 2 of Hebrews, the passage goes on to say this, starting in verse 14. Hebrews 2 says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. So Hebrews tells us that Jesus is like us in every way. The text says that he shares in our humanity. One Bible translation actually translates this verse in that he shares our humanity is that he partakes of our flesh. Christ partakes of our flesh. Now, for communion, we typically talk about what we do, eating the bread and drinking the juice as partaking of the body and blood of Christ. But Hebrews actually reminds us that Christ also partakes of us, that Jesus wants to share in our human lives, to experience both the beautiful and the ugly parts of it. He wants to walk in our shoes, even if that means experiencing the horrific killings and injustice that we've been seeing in our nation lately. Jesus, you see, doesn't want a diluted version or a diluted human experience. He wants the real human experience, because that way, if he experiences the worst parts of humanity, if he assumes the worst parts of the human race, it means that when he's resurrected, his resurrection will cover all of those things. And one day, when he returns again, that means also means even the ugliest parts of what we're seeing now, even those things will be redeemed and made new in the coming kingdom. And so for this morning's communion, earlier this week I sent out an email and a video announcement to bring a piece of non-white bread. And whether that means for some of you a goldfish cracker, a cookie, or a piece of wheat bread like this, we'll be using these as our communion elements today. Now, if you did not get that announcement, or if you only have white carbs at home, that's okay. Just use what you have. But if you do have a piece of non-white bread, then I encourage you to grab that in a minute. Now, the reason I asked you to bring a piece of non-white bread this morning is twofold. First, contrary to how many traditional Western artists have portrayed Christ as an Anglo man with perhaps long, conditioned, flowing hair, Jesus of Nazareth was a Palestinian Jew. And as such, he's what many of us would consider a person of color. He was a Galilean, not a European. Now, this is an important aspect of Christ's humanity, the humanity that God chose to inhabit, especially in this moment of American history. It's really important to understand, because Jesus was not what this country would really consider a white man. And so because he wasn't a white man, white supremacy is fundamentally incompatible with the Christian faith. Of course, no other ethnic supremacy is compatible with Christianity either. But this morning, we partake of different colored bread to recognize the flesh that Jesus actually took on was what many might consider, in this country at least, ethnic. And I think that's good news. That's good news to every one of us who's ever felt devalued because of our ethnic identity. Jesus makes each of our skin colors and each of our ethnicities very, very sacred. The second reason why I invited you to bring a piece of non-white bread this morning is that this is a way to recognize the common humanity that we share with our Black neighbors. We recognize that their lives are so sacred to the heart of God. Jesus will always be found near those who are hurting, those who are oppressed, those who are disadvantaged in a given society and culture, and those who are experiencing the pains of injustice. And so this non-white bread that we partake of this morning recognizes the image of God in all people of color, but this morning especially in our African-American neighbors and friends. You see, we care, as the church, we care what happens to them because Jesus has made us family. And by foregoing the white refined bread or cracker that we partake of today, and instead substituting in this wheat bread or whatever you have in front of you, we actually posture ourselves in spiritual solidarity with our Black neighbors and friends, proclaiming that Christ stands and suffers with them today. And that's very important. And so in a moment, some of our worship leaders, Joel and Liz Yoshanis, will lead us in a song of response, after which we will partake of the communion elements together. So if you do not have your bread and cup, go ahead and grab those things right now. Go grab a piece of non-white bread if you have it. If not, then whatever piece of bread you have available for you, and something to drink along with that. And as you prepare your heart, I ask that you just reflect on the Christ who wants to partake of all of our humanity, to become like us in every way, to experience undiluted human life in all of its beauty and all of its ugliness, who wants to walk with us, a Christ who wants to struggle with us, and a Christ who definitely wants to suffer with us. So that in the end, all of those things might be made new. So at this time, I'll invite Joel and Liz to lead us in song response.